Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Rick McBaron of Sagemark Consulting. And Rick's going to talk to us about exiting your business in style. It's a matter of choice, not chance. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Pleasure to have you. And one of the things we like to start with, Rick, is to let our listeners know a little bit about our guests. So if you could tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I've been in financial services for the past 32 years. Prior to that, I practiced law for 3 years. Practicing law was not my idea of a lot of fun. So as I said, I've been in financial services for the past 30 years. I've always had a financial planning practice, and at various points along the way, I have run financial services firms.
What is it that drew you to financial planning in the first place?
A couple of things. The first of which is that, and I hope the story I tell in a little while demonstrates this, is that what we do can really have an impact on people, can really help them achieve and accomplish things that are important to them. Secondly, I'm very analytical, so I like doing the models and the strategies and so forth. So it's a nice fit for me.
Well, we started about the same time. I started in the early 80s, and you used to have these giant proposals you would get ordered from the home office on this big blue paper.
Yeah, that's right.
Way before PCs came to town.
Tractor feed, the whole thing. Oh, yeah.
So, you've been and you're with a group called Sagemark Consulting. Tell us what Sagemark's all about.
Sagemark actually comes from Cigna Financial Advisors. We were purchased by the Lincoln National Corporation in 1998. Effectively, it's a boutique within LFA. Most of us have lots of letters after our names. We focus on high net worth, ultra high net worth people. That's the nature of our practice. And the other thing that unites us is that we are comprehensive financial planners. And I'll tell you more about that in a second. But for us, it always begins with a plan. People pay us a fee to go through a financial planning engagement. So that's part of our, that's our secret sauce, part of our secret sauce.
Yeah. So basically what a lot of these financial services companies, big insurance companies and others did was they said, we've got an elite group and we really want to hold them out. And our traditional brand just doesn't do that justice. We want to really hold these folks out. So that's how Sagemark got started.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
It's a great testament to the fact that you're a part of that organization, and it is a great, a very stable and great organization, the whole Lincoln Financial Group.
Yes,
in the industry.
Sure is.
So let's talk about exit planning.
Okay.
So now baby boomers out there, they're over age 50 now. So I think the term baby boomer's gone away. Now people are just saying age 50 plus, at least from what I've been able to see. But there's a huge number of them out there, and they're all thinking the same way. Not today, but maybe 3, 5, 10 years from now, I want to be leaving my business, getting out, doing something different, maybe not retiring, but rewiring my life.
Right.
What are you seeing out there?
Absolutely true. And when we get to the part of our discussion where I tell you a story, I will tell you a story that fits right into that. But you made several good points, one of which is that one of the things I'm finding in my peer group is that I don't hear the word retirement as much as I used to. Now it's more about, okay, I've got a tiger by the tail. That's my business. And at some point, I want to do less wrestling with the tiger, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to participate in some sort of business venture. So, what are my options sort of thing? But the traditional retirement in the way that your father or my father would have used that word, I'm really not seeing that very much anymore.
I don't think there was as much to do back then. Just seems like now there's a lot of cool stuff like radio shows.
Right, exactly.
There's a lot of technology. There's a lot of things that you can do that are just really interesting and fun. And maybe it's just something you've always wanted to do. You've probably run into a lot of family businesses where the son is in charge, but it was the dad's passion,
right,
and the son saying, I always wanted to be a math teacher.
Yep.
And I just, life's going by.
Yeah, exactly right. I sure do.
So what are some of the first steps that you recommend people take when they're starting to think this way?
Okay. Can I kind of launch into my story?
Please.
Okay. So let me tell you a story which I think illustrates First of all, it answers your question, but secondly, it illustrates what it is we do and kind of the impact of the service. So I'll call the couple Andy and Barbara. So this actually goes back about a year ago. A client of mine knew Andy. He referred Andy to me. They came into the office. Andy is 55. He runs, and he and his wife own, a very successful, closely held business. And he takes a significant amount of money out of that business each year. His wife is a year younger. She's a very highly compensated executive. And Andy's this type of guy who he really does have a tiger by the tail. And he's starting to think to himself, do I really want to do this for the rest of my life? But as they're starting to mull that over, some questions start to arise, which is why they sought me out. So the first thing they wanted to know was, if we sell the company for X amount of money, can we afford to retire, or can we afford to do something different? So the way I come at that is I had them very carefully catalog out what their expenses were, right? I understood what their assets are, and then I promise I'm not making this up. We do something called a Monte Carlo simulation, which tells you what the probability is that they'll be able to retire and you know, do what they want to do in the event that they sell the company.
Based on a multiple of given markets, it figures out, okay, here's your probability.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right. Okay. And part of how we refer to ourselves as, we refer to ourselves as mathematically based stewards of wealth. So we're really not up for guessing, right? So that's why we will do a probabilistic, easy for me to say, analysis of, okay, do you have enough and can you successfully retire, you know, on your terms, sort of thing. So the first thing for Andy and Barbara was I did the modeling for them and everything was just fine. Second thing for you. So second thing for you, and your listeners need to do this, is that you need to have an understanding of how you're going to invest your money. Okay, so it turns out, and I promise I'm not making this up, Andy and Barbara had 9 separate investment accounts at 9 separate investment firms. Okay, and I asked them, wow, that's kind of unusual to see 9 separate accounts. Why'd you do that? And Andy looked at me with a surprised look on his face and he said, Rick, I'm very surprised you asked me that question. Don't you believe in asset allocation? And I said, yeah, I sure believe in asset allocation. All right, Andy. And I'm kind of wondering if you have any. So I did. I got those 9 statements. I did what's called a coincidence analysis. And effectively, he and Barbara had bought the same thing 9 separate times. And more to the point, what they had purchased was way too aggressive. You know, if you profile them out as investors, what they had purchased was way too aggressive for them. As a result, they had taken some real losses in 2009. So the second thing we do in our process is we really help people understand investment fundamentals and, you know, what is the efficient frontier and so forth. And then secondly, we reposition that portfolio so it's at the right spot for them, give them the very best chance possible of, you know, getting the right amount of return for the risk they are willing to take on, right? But to us, it's all about education and having people understand what it is they're doing and, you know, why perhaps what they did before wasn't the best approach, and here's another approach for you. And then third thing for you, these people have a serious net worth, and they've done no estate planning. And the reason why is because they were very concerned that if they both passed away, they talked to a number of lawyers, that the kids were going to be rich and the kids were going to basically, you know, go to sleep on life. So the third thing I did for them is help them construct an estate plan where, well, let's just put it this way, we built in all sorts of incentives so the kids really can't hit the beach. Okay, so I do the design on that, and then, of course, I bring in an estate and gift tax lawyer to actually do the documentation.
Beautiful story. You know, what hit me is that first thing you did was you took assumptions and you turned those into realities.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Second thing is you said, look, you've got all of these, you've got 9 pies, but let's put them all into one pie chart and right. See what the incidence, what did you call the coincidence?
A coincidence analysis.
Because a lot of people buy 9 different mutual funds or whatever it happens to be.
Right.
And they're buying the same thing over and over again, and they think they've really allocated.
Exactly.
They're just in the same problem over and over again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And and if I could, part of the idea here, one of the things I say to my clients is my goal is to get you all the way home. So that's why we construct a game plan for the sale of the company. That's why we construct a durable investment plan. So, you know, we get them all the way home, right? They have a long-term plan. Their sense of confidence increases dramatically. It's really, it's fun and it's very rewarding to see people really get a grip on, okay, this is what we can do and this is how it'll play out.
Well, I can tell you have a passion for it. The last thing that you did there was you created this legacy where they'll always be remembered for their planning, not their lack of planning.
Exactly.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Yep, exactly.
I'm talking with Rick McBaron of Sagemark Consulting. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to ask you to share stories and tips for our listeners.
Okay.
So please hang in there. We'll be right back.
Are you an owner of a successful closely held business? Rick McBaron works with his clients and together they create a comprehensive financial plan based on their goals and objectives, which assures them that taxes, expenses, and creditor risks are minimized, that the desired succession plan for their business is in place, and that their investment portfolio is positioned for optimal performance. What it all means is that they will leave a legacy that is both significant and meaningful. Contact Rick McBaron at 949-500-8736. That's 949-500-8736.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. I'm talking with Rick McBaron of Sagemark Consulting, and before the break, we talked about some of the wonderful things that you do for your business owners, clients, and their families to help them really have a game plan, implement the game plan, and make it home safely, right, if you will. Yep. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was this number of baby boomers that are starting to think about, okay, how do I get out of my business? And that's not an easy thing, is it?
No, it's not.
Nope. I mean, for their employees, they turn in their keys, get a box, put their stuff from the desk in a new box, right, walk out. They have their 401k, they have Social Security, and they'll probably be maybe somewhat okay. Maybe they'll have to get some other type of work. Who right. knows these days?
Yep.
But for the owner, he's still got the bus
right.
that he's been driving that he's got to get rid of.
Right.
Yep. And or transition it over to somebody else.
That's right.
What are some of the big obstacles that you see business owners have when it's time to start thinking about this type of planning?
Well, a couple of things. The first of which is you don't want to wait too long, right? So, you know, typically for the people that come to me, they're going to be in their 50s, maybe early 60s sort of thing. You have lots of options when you have like a 3 to 5 year runway before you intend to actually do something with the company. So that's that. So you need some time, right? So that's point number one. Point number two is that believe me, Bill, it is in most cases very, very important to take a careful look at the business and make sure that it's primed for an optimal sale. So back to Andy and Barbara for just a second. So I got to know Andy and I got his tax returns and so forth, and I got to understand how he was operating his company. He actually had 4 separate operating companies, and he did things where he moved money back and forth and so forth. And one of the things that concerned me about that was, how would a buyer perceive that? So one of the things that I did was I got Andy to a mergers and acquisition attorney, and the M&A attorney said, you know what, Andy, based on the cash flows and such, you have an extremely valuable business, pregnant pause, that can't be sold. And the reason it can't be sold is because a buyer will look at this and go, you know, what the heck is all this and what's going on here? And maybe there's something else we should go take a look at. So what the M&A attorney did is he did a reformation of the business entity. So we now have a single entity. We hired a sizable accounting firm and got the financials all squared away so that now a buyer can take a look at it and everything's in good shape.
So by doing some preemptive work, you really make sure that the buyer's got to trust the story that's being told.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And the more time that goes by where it can be maybe audited financials or at least reviewed financials, and the better the story will be. Because if the buyer's skittish, the problem is going to be that there's going to be other people selling their businesses down the road.
That's
and
right.
the buyer will go elsewhere. If they it's kind of like, you know, if they when you're fishing, and if you don't have the right bait,
yep.
and then the fish is going to go somewhere else and eat.
Right. The other thing, Bill, is that in 2014, the investment banking market is a nervous market. Buyers are very, very careful. They want whistle clean only because they have lots of options, right? So again, when you present to the market, the business has got to make a lot of sense. And as you said, buyers got to be able to look at the financials and understand it, you know, quickly and not have to do a lot of digging around. And can you explain this to me, please? And they don't want to ask a lot of those questions, believe me.
Now, the mathematical side is very, very important to the transaction. No denying that. How about the operational side? Do you see a lot of messes in that area where the business owner's got really not enough processes and systems built in to transition a business effectively?
Absolutely. The other thing I see, Bill, is the business owner's just doing too many things. So that when a buyer comes along, the buyer's going to say, wait a minute, Mr. or Ms. Business Owner, you are the business. You know, you're the CFO, you're the CIO, and, you know, all the other O's sort of thing. So I have a company I'm working with right now up in Wilmington where we're intentionally bringing in a management team so that when my client steps out, the buyer can look at it and say, okay, this is a business I can buy, and it will continue running without the big guy still in the company.
So that's a good note, is that if a business owner looks at you and says, well, you're my financial advisor, how are you going to help me with that? Well, you know people, and you know people who know people.
Right.
You're in a big networking organization called Correct. Provisors that has thousands of advisors up and down the coast.
That's correct.
And you can find somebody who can help them with operations, or help them with growing their business or social media or all these types of things that are out there, right?
Right. And one of the things...
there's a few lawyers in that group too.
Just one or two. one of the things I like to say is that in working with the people I work with, the gray hair is a real advantage, right? As I said, 32 years of experience just to practice tax law and all that. So I may not be able to do everything myself, but I can oftentimes spot issues like the one I was just suggesting to you, where it's like, okay, I don't personally do this, but I know people who do, and let's bring them in and start working on these things and getting them fixed. Again, you need some time, though, to get things fixed and shaped up.
And it's kind of like every orchestra needs a conductor.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But you also play an instrument or two in that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You can really help them along, because you don't have to make your entire living off of just being a conductor, which can be real expensive if people hire an advisor to coordinate the team and they have no other way to make money.
Right.
Then they end up paying a really expensive price for all of that coordination.
Right. Exactly.
So you bring the best of both worlds for everybody.
We like to think our business model makes a lot of sense. And our clients, excuse me for a second, our clients really like the fact that they pay us a fee for advice. If they do something else with this, swell, but if they don't, that's fine too. But it's a clean deal, right? They paid us the fee to go through this engagement, and they know exactly what they're getting. And business owners, I find, Bill, really like that as a business proposition.
Someone that knows the story.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
Because that's really what you really earn your way to being a trusted advisor.
Right.
And that means you care about people, and you're going to be there no matter what the situation is. You're going to help them through that. And that's got to be a tremendous amount of peace of mind for your clients and customers.
Absolutely right.
Do you have any brief tips or precautions for our listeners, Rick?
Kind of emphasizing a couple of points. The first of which is, get started early. Secondly, don't over depend on advisors, right? So for example, in our world, we train our clients about how money should be properly invested. So get educated, understand how things work. And that way you'll have a much better relationship with your advisors, because you'll know what's going on and you'll be talking the same language, that sort of thing. And I guess the third thing is, I know there's a little self-promotion in what I'm about to say, but use people with experience. Because I think experience really counts, especially when the stakes are high. So those are just some off-the-cuff tips.
Very good. And, it is. It's important to work with people who have been around the block a few times and who can take a broad look at the overall situation. And what I tell people also is that, a lot of the things that you've learned over the last 32 years, you've learned, let's say, if it was knowledge, you put it into your head a tablespoon at a time.
Right.
You can't just dump a bucket over somebody's head and expect them to pick up on all that.
So. No.
Well, Rick, what's the best way for someone to get in touch with you, and when should they call?
So the sooner the better. Okay. And if they'll go to the website, can I say what that is?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's rick.macbarron, M-A-C, capital B-A-R-R-O-N, .com. If they'll go to the website, then all my contact information is there. They can send me an email or give us a call, whatever works best for them. But the website's the easiest way.
If they call you up and say, hey, can you talk for a little while? Are you okay for a consultation of some kind?
Yeah, absolutely.
So just to share their situation, and you can say, well, here's what I've seen, and here's maybe how we can be of help.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, great to have you on the show. I really appreciate you coming on, and it was a lot of fun. I've been talking with Rick McBarron of Sagemark Consulting here in Irvine, California, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.